Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, learn about heaven's economy, what it is, and how it works. Join Kenneth Copeland as he shares about God's grace, the powerful force that causes supernatural multiplication.
Open your Bibles with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In each of our offering sessions, as the Spirit of God leads, which is, as most of you know, has been spending time in our ministry or around us, we take the time. In fact, the Lord said this to me years ago. He said, take the time to teach on heavenly economics. Because the vast majority of born again, Holy Ghost, baptized, tongue talking, healing me, believing Christians don't know a thing in the world about heaven's economy. Nothing. And that's the reason in most people's idea, rich is a dirty word. But it isn't, it's a Bible word, as you'll see tonight. Eighth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was in good shape financially. The churches in Macedonia were not. So, moreover, brethren, we do you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. In the Classic Amplified, you'll find this: arousing in them the desire to give. That's vital information here. Make a little note of that in the margin of your Bible if you have room left. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves or voluntarily, praying us. More than one translation said begging us. I looked it up in the Greek, and that is one of the translations of the Greek word. Begging us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship, the ministering to the saints. This they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They were begging the Apostle Paul to let them give. Now, why would you have to beg somebody to let you give? Deep poverty. Man, it was rough in Macedonia. They were hurting. If you ask, here again, 99 9/10, forget the world, Holy Ghost people, should someone in poverty tithe? Well, absolutely. If you ain't got nothing but a smile, give something. Oh, Brother Copeland, I just don't get that. I just don't understand that. I know it. That's the reason you broke. But, well, we won't go into that. But let's take a moment here. First of all, I'll read to you from the 14th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, the 22nd verse. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed of the field, and so forth and so on. And now the 15th chapter, the 4th verse, save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, in the New Living Amplified Message Translation, take your pick, there should be no poor among you. Now that's God's idea. Somebody said, well, God sure must have made love poor folks. He made so many of them. Well, God loves poor people, but he didn't make any of them poor. That's the devil's business. Because poverty is under the curse, glory to God. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth bore that curse. Amen. He bore that. We're going to see it right here in just a moment. Now, First Chronicles 29:12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make grace great and to give strength unto all. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I hadn't been here long. I done preached me happy. I'm telling you. I get completely thrilled over this. Some people don't like it, but I do. And now back to the 8th chapter, 2 Corinthians. Verse 7. Therefore, as you abound. Now, notice in everything, notice thing is in italics. And of course, all of you, or most of you anyway, know that was put in there by the translators, thinking, you know, it would help you to understand it. Well, they put it in, we can take it out. And I suggest you do that, because sometimes it changes the complexion of that verse, particularly if you know anything about spiritual law and how it works. Therefore, as you abound in every faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and your love to us, that you see to it that you abound in this grace also. Now notice, these are graces. You abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment. I'm not ordering you to do this, he said, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace. Now remember, it was the grace, look back up there, arousing in them the desire to give. What about the woman, the little woman in Luke 21:11? The little widow woman with the two mites. Huh? She gave the biggest offering anybody there. Whoa, I'm telling you, and she's in the book. And I get to heaven, she's one of the first ones I want to meet. Because I guarantee you, that woman didn't stay poor at all. Number one, she's a widow woman. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Number two, she's a poor woman. Well, she was until that day. I guarantee you, Jesus, then those prosperity angels went to work for that woman, right along with the prosperity angels, with the woman with the issue of blood. Because she wouldn't have been made whole if she hadn't gotten back all the money that that disease cost her. Jesus said, be whole of that plague. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. He was not poor in his earthly ministry. Did you ever think about Jesus tithing? Oh, glory to God. Had he not tithed, he would have sinned. That was in the law in those days. Ah. I can just kind of tell someone went, aha. Poor fellas don't need treasurers. Amen. Anything but poor. Very wealthy man. When he moved to Capernaum, they excavated his house. And then they realized, they thought it was Peter's house because it was so big. And then they realized it was Jesus' house. Oh, listen. Do a study. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find the word Capernaum. Home. And he was in the house. In Capernaum. Home. Home. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I wanted you to see here what was going on. Why would grace stir up in them the desire to give when there's a famine going on? Anybody got any idea? Jerry, you don't count. You don't get to raise your hand. The blessing of the Lord. What happened? What happened in the old covenant? Abraham went to Egypt. Isaac started to do that. And the Lord said, no, you don't do that. You stay right where you are. He sowed in famine and reaped 100-fold the same year. Now, and think about this. Well, He's drilling wells and hitting water and they're taking it away from me, drilling and hitting water, you know, and they're taking it away from me. That's what God planned for him to do. Now, the famine was on. Finally, if you study this in the Chumash and in other Jewish writings and study it in the New Living and in different translations, his estate and everything he had got so big and he was so wealthy and he just, one translation said, he just kept getting more wealthy and richer and wealthy and wealthy until he got very rich indeed. And his home and everything was bigger than the palace. Well, the king got ticked at that. So they said, get him out of here. We can't have that. He's richer than I am. Get him out. Now, when you read it in the Bible, it seems like it happened, you know, over a few days. But this happened over quite some time. And in the Chumash, it says that the fruit trees dried up. The wells went dry. What happened? The famine was still on. But the blessing of the Lord had superseded it. You know what that, you know what that means? You take off in an airplane, it doesn't change the law of gravity. It supersedes it. How you're flying along and the engine quits, you're going to land. It doesn't go and fall. Not at all. Some people think they do, but they don't. No, a good friend of mine, he was one of my earlier instructors, and he had a guy that, thank God he's in heaven today, but there was a guy he had just taught how to fly, And of course, he got his private license. The first thing he wanted to do was go take a trip, you know, pray to God, you got to go somewhere. And he had a little small single-engine Piper airplane. And they took off, and they were going fishing someplace. And boy, the engine just seized up. It just quit. And just, I mean, just scared the pudding out of this guy. And he, what are we going to do? And Harvey said, we are going to land. Da, 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 da. We are going to land. What happened? Gravity was still there. The famine was still there. It'd been superseded. That was what was happening in Macedonia. That's the reason grace aroused in them the desire to give, to break that famine, glory to God, and to bring God's prosperity. To bring God's spirit of prosperity on the churches in Macedonia. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Did you get anything out of that tonight? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the laws of the Spirit. And we give you praise. We thank you. Yes, sir, I'll do that. I'll do that. Going over there to that ninth chapter, now you understand what was going on in the ninth chapter. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Come on down, verse 6. This I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make. Now here, he just talked about one, two, three, four, five graces in verse 7 of the 8th chapter. You have to understand, this was a letter. It wasn't written with numbers in them. That's the reason chapter 8 starts off with moreover. Now, whoever started a sentence like that? Moreover. Or you just walk up to somebody and say, however. No, no. You don't start with moreover and however. Now then, God is able to make
all.
Not five.
All.
All grace abound towards you, that you, always having, always having, all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. That's the 112th Psalm. And right there in the 112th Psalm, it says, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. I pray that 112th Psalm for my partners. And you notice that. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness is still intact. Upsets a lot of people. I don't care. I rolled all of my cares. And every night when I lay my head down, I make sure I don't go to sleep with a care on my mind. Because I've rolled all of my care over on the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. Glory, and I both have glory to God. Now, never go to sleep with a care on my mind. Amen. That's the way you control your thought life. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower. Did you get that?
Yes.
He ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God.
In every way, the Word has impacted my life, and I learned through Kenneth Copeland Ministries what it really means to walk by faith and what it means to live out the Word, and that it's not just something that I believe and something that I just talk about, but it's something that I live, and I'm excited to be a part of it as a partner. I'm excited to be able to know that what my contributions and my prayers and my support is helping to do this. It's a major thing. I can see that I'm a partner of something that's bigger than just my area, my region, my community. But I can see the global reach that KCM has, and I can say that I'm a part of that. And that the same anointing, and this has been huge for me, being able to know that the same anointing that is on KCM, it's on my life. And being able to say, if God will do it for KCM, I know He'll do it for me. I'm a part of that.
It is not an obligation, a rule to follow, or something you do to get God to bless you. As a believer, giving is an act of love, the expression of a grateful heart, and a way to worship God. The Grace of Giving package gets directly to what's important. In her teaching series, The Grace of Giving, Gloria Copeland shares God's definition of an acceptable gift and why it has everything to do with your heart. She shows you how to always be a cheerful giver. Trust God and His sufficiency. Walk in grace, abundance, and the blessing. Make giving a lifestyle. Put into practice being generous and charitable all the time. In the mini book, Giving and Receiving, Kenneth Copeland provides insights on how to put God's spiritual system of prosperity to work for you. Experience a breakthrough of giving that overflows with blessing. Request your free copy of the Grace of Giving package. Giving is an act of love, the expression of a grateful heart. Experience a breakthrough of giving that overflows with blessing. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Walk in grace, abundance, and the blessing. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
We've just heard a powerful word today on the grace to give, and God's grace on your seed has the ability to multiply, has the ability to break the power of poverty in your life forever. And that's why today is offering day. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to the word that you've heard and watch the grace of God go to work in your life, in your family, and in your finances. Listen to this from the book of Galatians chapter 6. It says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Sowing into a ministry like this that's preaching Jesus all over the world, this is sowing spiritually. And when you sow to the Spirit, you reap from the Spirit. That's what the Word of God said. Now, many of you watching, you're partners with this ministry, and you can attest to what I'm saying. You know that this is true. You have seen that your obedience to sow when the Lord says sow, to pray when He says pray, you know that it has opened a door to the goodness of God in your life. We pray this all the time. We ask the Lord to cause people to know that it's their seed into this ministry, into others that are preaching the kingdom of God all over the world. Cause them to know that that seed's opening up a door of access for God to go to work in their lives. And we're seeing it happen day after day after day. Partners, thank you. Thank you for being a part of this. You are preaching this uncompromised word of faith all over the world, from the top to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Father, we receive the giving of the people today. We call them blessed, increased, more and more, them and their children. We thank you for your blessing that's at work in their lives today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, thank you so much for watching today. Thank you for being a part of this broadcast. We invite you to join us again next week. Don't miss the anointed word that's coming from the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast week in and week out. It will bring change into your life in Jesus' name. We love you so much. God loves you. Never forget that Jesus is Lord.
Today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is available to you free on DVD, CD, or digital download at kcm.org. Shipping charges may apply. Keep your faith strong with the Word of God and step into a year of abundant harvest.